Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I get up and the snowblowers are going, and we have wonderfully generous neighbors. I mean, everybody just, I think it's a thing when you have a snowblower going, you just want to do everybody his walk.
Yeah. And it's so an obligation, I think.
But I always feel like I've failed if somebody else has snowblowed my house.
Yeah. Under their breath, it's like, yep, got to do the boulders again. Lazy ass.
Motherfucker never does.
You must be a teacher.
Could you get him to do your driveway? Get him to do your driveway.
You know what? I do the driveway, but they don't do the driveway. In fact, mm-mm. Sometimes they will.
You don't do your driveway. I just walk down.
Yeah. I know.
Wow. I thought I'd be the one pitching him the most shit about it. Jackson probably came in the front door.
Yeah, he did.
I did.
No, yep. I broke the trail for
smarter than
you.
That. Why didn't I? Oh, yeah. Thanks. I stepped in every one of your...
Hey, I still want to talk to you guys about... Jack, I still want to talk to you about bathrooms.
Okay.
Before hitting the now oh-so-recognizable theme music that we always seem to talk over, myself being the main culprit, I didn't pick on Jack on that one, it is that time for some good old-fashioned pre-roll advertising. Hey, everybody, Gooder sunglasses, people. That's right, Gooder continues to flaunt affordability, function, and fashion in the sunglasses industry. Their style and value are truly innovative and brilliant. Get over to Gooder.com today and pick up 5 pair, probably for the cost of 1 pair of the usual look that makes you appear like a true douchebag when you're off the bike. You know who I'm talking about. You look like Dwight from The Office when you wear your cycling sunglasses off the bike. Oh, and Gooder looks good on and off the bike. So there we go. Gooder.com. Wahoo fitness, people. Wahoo. You know you want to do the Ambassador Challenge, right? Well, you also want to be as fast and fit as possible come the spring thaw. If it ever fucking happens. Click on the Wahoo link at packfiller.com today and get started with their system plan, formerly known as the Sufferfest. Begin your training plan to test your fitness, the first step in the challenge, and build it based on your strengths and much-needed weaknesses today. Great plans, great videos, great motivation. Third of 4 advertisements. Ambassador Cycling, people, you got to be fit. To be fit, you can't possibly enjoy the long hours needed to get fast on an improperly fitted bike. Trust me and trust Sam at Ambassador Cycling. This guy knows his shit. He drinks bourbon too, and he's converting me to drinking bourbon. I guess it's
lower calorie.
It is exactly what I'm doing, and he'll make sure you're all set to fall deeper in love with the two-wheeled lifestyle. You don't have to be a racer to appreciate the importance of proper fit. Trust me and trust Ambassador Cycling. AmbassadorCycling.com. Finally, Athletic Brewing, people. All the flavor, none of the guilt. Trust me, you want to try Athletic's offerings to offset your ill-fated holiday diet or lack thereof. We'll get to who gained how much over the holidays here shortly. Athletic offers a huge variety of craft non-alcoholic brews to refresh and relax post-ride or during those moments when you are indeed craving a beer. Use the Athletic link at packfiller.com, please. Okay, there we go. I got through the advertisements. Not only who knows how long it took. The more I talk about it, the longer it takes. So I'll hit the theme, which isn't playing because it's playing on the fucking computer in the background. So it's playing there. So if I turn that off, this is professional. And by the way, Pat, why don't you edit your own shows? I don't know. It's more fun this way. Let's see if it plays now. We're not live? Jackson says we're not live. This is one of those days, you know? Let me see. It says we're streaming live, Jackson. To Vimeo. 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 We're not talking over the theme. It's weird.
You are. Oh, now I...
Yeah.
God, I lose. Now you... Jackson's the only winner. He won the quiet game.
Always.
We're on the YouTubes. See?
Jackson's the only winner. He won.
Oh, yeah. I just... Must not be on here.
It's not on YouTubes?
Or at least I don't see where it is.
See, look at the bald spot. In the back of my head.
We've seen it. Why is it new to you?
It's because...
Oh, it's from behind.
Okay, let's do this. 2022 is here. Time for cheer. Let's do our best not to fear. Cancellations, variant, masks, and rage. Please, let's go for the sake of my age. We just want to ride with friends or even race. So let's think positive and cover your goddamn face. Welcome to another episode of Life on Two Wheels. Welcome to the Pack Filler. Jack, you just roll in your eyes at my
Dr.
my
Seuss
mad
attempt.
Ryan skills. We are not on YouTube, apparently.
Not from my end, but maybe on yours.
Well, fuck it. We are in the ever-improving Pack Filler studio, which needs a name, by the way. I mean, it needs a name. Is this our service course? Is this, you know, what are we going to name it? So that was the question that I'm going to introduce you guys with. Theme's already fucking over, and I haven't even got to the question yet. Immediately come up with a name for this space. And listeners, you can chime in on which one you think is better or your own version. So when I introduce you, you have to come up with a nickname for this space now, which Pack Filler Studio is kind of boring, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got to come up with something better. So, number one, he's the northern star of the Pack Filler, constant and never changing. His name is Mr. Paul Main. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right.
You got one?
No
pressure.
No, I'm first off. I like to go because you want a pub theme, so you want to go with something pub. Yeah. I'm going to rip off the very first one when I went to London. And the first pub I went to was called the Barley Mow.
The Barley Mow.
Mm-hmm. And there was something, Oak was another one, and then the Clarence. Those are the three that I went to.
So we can't steal somebody else's pub name, though. But
are they
going
to find us in London?
I like some of those names, like the Gilded
Yak. But we could
Yak
do something, something, yeah.
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 The Barley Mow. Okay.
Barley Mow. I like that. I've returned there twice because of the name.
There we go. All right.
I had good beer.
Second of all, he is the Tornado of the Pack Filler. Inconsistent, but always memorable. Mr. Jack Broadhead,
holy,
how are you,
shit,
man?
Well, I'm great. Yeah. Great. Excellent.
Good.
God, I don't know. I was trying to think of what's
improvisational skills.
What is the, what's the, NORAD?
NORAD?
Yeah, NORAD. It's in down in a tunnel, down, you know, in the...
So you're just saying that because I haven't snowblown the fucking driveway.
Okay, how about The Office? Presidio? Headquarters.
HQ.
HQ.
Pack Filler HQ. Should I even write that down?
Write any of that.
I should just ask the listeners.
Garbage.
Yeah, have them. Better ones. Make it a contest. Yeah.
Third, he is the Omicron variant of the Pack Filler. Young, but not to be underestimated.
Holy shit. Wow.
Well said. Wow.
I'd rather be a tornado.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Wow. Mr. Jackson Bulger,
rough
how
intro.
Are you, buddy?
I'm good, yeah.
That isn't an insult.
Started with a North Star virus.
I said young, but not to be underestimated.
All right.
I like the description. Yeah. I immediately, at first came up in my mind, was The Lair.
Ooh, The Lair.
There's one in Spokane.
The Lair.
Is there a lair?
There was. A lion's lair.
a bunch of people with like
I think it
swords.
Was
swords with, yeah. with yeah. foam
playing
rubber
at
around
Park.
Them. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, now we've got a better version.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. All right.
I think it's out of business anyway.
Yeah, mm. there we go.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. me, I'm the Big Dipper. Easy to see yet easily forgettable.
Oh. Wow.
Meaning I'm big and I'm. Yeah. Nobody remembers because you guys get all the questions in the show. I ask you guys the questions and I never answer anything. So everybody's like, "Oh, I love Paul's stance on brakes and Jackson's
I'm sure there's
modern
a long list
nature, and we care about what Jack's bike is about. Yeah. But who cares? The fucking asks the questions in the first place.
Well, what do you want to name it?
Yeah.
I service course was my idea.
That's
okay.
cool.
Yeah. Not bad.
How about the dungeon?
Isn't there something already named the service course?
Everything. A service course is where a team has their gear, their shop, their space, their there's a video recently of Jumbo Visma's service course, which is this gigantic fucking building mm-hmm. with buses and
yeah.
racks full of Cervelos yep. and stuff like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. space. Mm-hmm. So. You know, maybe this
pretty
is
close.
Our
but
service course.
But you said
course.
Beautiful, so we can't use this.
Hey, I've been working hard on this, you motherfuckers.
Sorry.
And you adjusted the lighting, so people watching the video, apparently it's not on YouTube. Why isn't it on YouTube?
Should I go to Vimeo while you guys actually try to fill space?
You guys sure. won't be able to fill space. Sir, so tell me about your
actually,
ride.
My day?
Talk about your guys' ride week.
Yeah.
I want to hear about your ride week.
Start with Jackson.
I rode yesterday. Starting to get into it. I'm trying to do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday/Thursday thing. Working out so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Yeah. Trying to do that. Yeah. They have some really like high quality 30-minute workouts too, especially for people like me who like lead a really intense day and then have to come home and I'm like, well, I'm super.
Get on the bike.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, a high-intensity 30-minute workout for when there are no roads, really. Mm-hmm. It's really good for my winter training, at least. And it keeps me kind of motivated with I don't know what it's going to be for the day, but I know that it's going to be a structured workout.
So, I got a question for you. Okay. You know, I was on Zwift for 3 years, I believe.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't interested in doing the workouts,
mm-hmm.
but I do like systems workouts, you know, mm-hmm. and I really enjoy them. And since you did the Sufferfest, do you like, I mean, what would you do compare those two?
I think they're completely different beasts entirely. Because I think on what I found with Zwift is it's, you still are riding, like your character mm-hmm. is still riding around, like doing all that stuff. But you get to see the workout that's coming. You aren't like watching a video, which I think sometimes, it depends on the person. Because I think mm-hmm. sometimes when you're like, with system how you can watch like old race footage and you're the person attacking
mm-hmm.
I like how they do that. Zwift can kind of get boring,
yeah,
but that's why I always switch it up. Like yesterday I rode I just rode mm-hmm. I did the volcano climb and I tried to see how fast I could do it. I didn't do a workout yesterday, which I like the flexibility that I can do both just on that one platform, but yeah. They're different but each useful.
Are you on any?
No
I'm but you scrolling. Rode outside, though.
No.
I inside. Think you did when you were out, when you went, when you
I didn't
backwards.
Ride over there, no.
No. You were talking
it was,
like
it
you
was
were.
Snowing over there, believe it or not. We mm-hmm. had like,
oh, yeah,
because
I watched the,
like
the Seahawks game.
Yeah, we were at the Seahawks game, and it was snowing. Mm-hmm. And
that was
downtown.
A good game for them.
Yeah.
It was typical of this season.
You guys, I love you guys trying to film.
It was great.
Actually kind of fun.
But no, it actually snowed. Probably, which is really rare where in Hoquiam,
because mm-hmm.
It's right out on the ocean, like 6-8 inches of snow.
Well, that's
and
a lot.
It stayed. There's uh-huh. still snow. Well, now they're having massive flooding. So, I mean, everybody downtown's getting flooded out. We've had stuff move from our property out into the river.
Wow.
So, you know, we had a big timber that has ended up half in the river, half tied to the tree I tied it to. So yeah, it's really bad over there right now, so I don't know.
Well, they got snow in Saudi Arabia, which
wow.
is a rare thing.
Yeah,
and they're doing their tour of Saudi Arabia, but it'll be melted by then, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
wow.
just weird strangers
speaking. Go ahead.
No, you guys are adorable. Keep it up.
Adorable.
Yeah, speaking of world tour racing, do you see about do you already do you have the story of Argentina?
No, go.
The
San Juan.
Yeah, it's canceled.
Yeah.
Which freaks me out because I remember about 2 years ago when Perry Nice was going on and I was like, nah, you know, like Max Shockman's going to carry this into the rest of the season. Then there wasn't one.
No.
So I really hope this isn't another one of those. But also, I wonder if the World of Cycling would do that again or if they would do another 2021 and just be precautious, like as cautious as they possibly can, but keep it.
Nothing's fucking working on my head. You guys have completely stopped
taking over the show.
Everything's just spinning out of control on my head, and that's what kind of makes it fun. Please keep going, Jackson. I'm gonna completely reboot the live stream.
But it, I really hope it's not like that again because I was really interested to see Sagan and the team, the ex-Bora team, take on San Juan.
Well, now that you mention it, I don't know if you have it on the news. Sagan pop positive.
That's one of my new stories.
Yeah. Again?
Yeah. Okay, I'm almost there.
But it's who knows what's going to happen. I haven't been able to go to a GU basketball game because of COVID. So they've been canceling them. Mm. Yeah.
It's crazy right now.
Yeah. We had in Spokane, we were one shy of our record for one day.
Mm. What? Wow.
For COVID positives.
For COVID? COVID positive, yeah.
USA!
USA! Well, it's all over. I mean, everybody. Although Germany opened up. I don't know why we're stuck on that. Germany opened up to UK to travel, so they're kind of loosening up a little bit. But.
So if anybody wondered, you know what? Actually, this was a wonderful thing. Thank you, guys. I don't know if we're live on YouTube or not, but we are live on Facebook. So
we
if
are. People are. Yeah, we are definitely live. I can see us right there, live on Facebook.
Yeah. And if the camera shifts to me eventually, we'll know we are officially live on Facebook. Please, God, say it shifts to me. But you know what? Sometimes you get to a point. There I am. There's my bald spot in the background.
Nice.
But
like a beacon.
At some point, you just got to
the North Star.
Fuck.
Well, this is part of the Big Deep Dipper. We're bringing it back around.
Yeah, right.
Has anybody made any additional New Year's resolutions?
For cycling?
I had a bunch.
Total. Across the board.
I've never...
Really?
Those.
No, you haven't?
I'm killing it.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
What was yours?
Drink less beer. So
there's one right in front of you.
I get one a day.
Oh, shit.
I tried to talk the wife into substituting the rest of the beer for vodka, but she said no. But yeah, just one beer a day. Riding. I've ridden a couple times this week since last Friday, I think.
Right on.
But... yeah, lost 4 pounds, 5 pounds.
Wow.
Fucking
good on
you. What?
But I think what that I can attribute the weight loss to, I'm freezing to fucking death all day long at work. And then I'm eating here and there. And everything I go to drink is ice because it sits, you know, at my work for 10 minutes and it turns to ice. And then one beer a day. Mm-hmm. So I'm just burning through calories like.
Yeah, if you cut your beer down, the pounds do melt away. Yeah.
I didn't cut my beer, but I cut wine.
But you're back to bourbon.
Well, I'm having I'm having an ounce and a half to 2 ounces of bourbon.
That's cool.
And then I'm not drinking any wine anymore.
No judges.
I used to have a beer every night. I still have a beer every night. And then I would switch to wine, and I have probably 2 glasses of wine. But I cut out wine, and now I'm having bourbon instead. It's probably the same thing, isn't it?
Wine has more calories.
It does. It does. Yeah. I guarantee I drink more beer every night until now than all of you combined every night. Guaranteed.
I'm not going to take that challenge. Tea. Yeah, because I've...
So that's how... I mean, that's why I got to cut back my beer to 1.
4 beers.
Oh, 7.
Nope.
Wow.
7.
You're a pro.
I'm a fucking alcoholic, man.
After that long pause, should we get to the headlines? Oh, my God.
This show is...
so going sideways.
Oh, we're deep in the weeds.
Yeah.
But I love that it kind of went, not shitty. No. You guys held it really well. So if I should get hit by a bus tomorrow, we all know that everything's going to be Panda Watch. Fine. That was in stereo. That was nice. Yeah. Everything's going to be fine.
Jackson will
so
take over.
Let's check the headlines. In other words, Panda Watch. Today's headlines are, I'm going to claim, wah, with a happy ending. Mm. Okay. Wah, with a happy ending. Okay. First story. Hey, Peter. This is the one Jackson was talking about before while I was staring at my computer screen, hoping that YouTube was live, but it doesn't appear to be live. Peter Sagan and his brother Uri have tested positive for COVID-19 for a second time, 11 months after first catching the virus. The former three-time world champion announced in the news via social media today. He said, and I quote, my brother Uri and I, Uri, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I took COVID-19 tests, which unfortunately came out positive. We have symptoms related to the virus, and we are following the corresponding guidance set by the relevant authorities. I'll keep you posted. He was due to reveal that 2022 Total Energy racing kit at the team's service course. In January 10th in France, and then attend a training camp in Spain. But however, the latest French COVID regulations, he will now have to isolate at home in Monte Carlo for at least 5 days and return negative test. Mm-hmm. Monte Carlo.
That's going to be rough looking out
there. As per the UCI COVID medical protocol, he will also need to undergo a series of checkups to confirm he is fit to train and race. He was due to make his debut at the Vuelta San Juan in Argentina, but that has also been canceled, as Jackson brought up earlier while I was... You guys held really well. Nice job. So my thoughts are on this. Last year, he dealt with it in February, first weeks of February. This year, he's dealing with the first weeks of January. Any thoughts on, oh, shit, a repeat of the last year? I should start with Jackson, because Jackson's the big Peter Sagan bandwagon guy here. And that's not a bad thing. That's not an insult. Well, I fucking love Peter. Hey, Peter. What do you think?
Yeah. I love the guy, and I'll always root for him. As we've seen, I've picked him when it's been stupid to pick him. But speaking of stupid, that's what this is. dude, it's your second time. Like, stop.
I love the guy.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, yeah. But like, it's dumb. I think that if you've dealt with it once, like that. I can forgive. That was not on purpose. Well, obviously he's not catching it on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But I just think that wouldn't you have learned from prior mistakes?
Can I ask what you guys think his vaccination status is?
He's not. He's come out and said that he said that he's not.
He's flat out not.
Yeah.
I know three people who are vaccinated and got one asymptomatic, my wife, and then a coworker of mine. He was just recently vaccinated. And he got the Omicron, the new one. He says, man, this cold just won't go away. So maybe whatever his status is, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes, if he did get vaccinated in between the time that he said he isn't vaccinated, it's not. Luckily, this crop is not quite as
not
turning out to be
as many.
Any deep rooted fears in terms of selfish nature for the rest of us in terms of what this season's gonna
absolutely
look like?
We've been the whole purpose I'd like to ride bikes is a race, and then I was sitting here thinking after I see RC3, the Omnium, is like third time's the charm. We're going to have it in May.
That,
then all of a sudden I saw and then I saw our numbers here in Spokane go to 718. I'm like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to see that. And same with, if you got your hand on your drink, Turtle Bloom is
drink.
I'm trying to make this last, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's his only.
Well, we haven't said Roger.
Oh, fuck. It scares me. Speaking of Peter, has anybody seen the new bike design? Peter's new bike design from Specialized. Jackson, you're the guy to ask. Whenever there's a Peter Sagan thing, I'm just going to go straight to you.
Fair enough.
Your thoughts on the bike design?
I think it's pretty cool.
Do you?
Yeah, I like the red seat post. I'm a big fan of that.
Do you?
Yeah, okay. I do.
That's his favorite bike color, by the way.
No.
Red.
Is it?
Hmm? Well, it's my favorite color. It's one of my favorite colors, but...
Hmm. Oh, sorry. Now, I assumed it was bike, too.
Okay.
Go for it. Squirrel.
I think, yeah. I think it's cool. I like the different gray. I do find it kind of... I'm the person... like that everybody should follow on the team.
Okay.
That he gets a different bike. I think that's weird.
Oh, that's not the whole team's bike?
No, it's not the whole team's bike. Oh. Everybody else gets a red bike.
Full
he
red.
Gets a, okay. He gets a gray with a red seat post bike.
Is it gray or it looks kind of bluish?
It's like a grayish. It's like a, I would say it's almost like your shirt kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Total energy blue gray.
Yeah.
And then a blend of both. Fuck yeah. You.
It's, yeah. I just think it's weird that everybody else gets a different bike. Because that to me isn't a team mentality. That's already a we're in it for Peter mentality, which I think is different. Yeah. Why I'm getting into it, but I think why DeKoinic is way better than other teams because they're that wolf pack rather than for the one rider.
Well, I wonder if that's more specialized than anything else.
Yeah, it is for sure.
And that's he brought that to the team specialized.
He did.
So
he did.
They're probably going to say thank you very much and. Here, you get this.
Bora keep specialized.
They did.
Yeah. Which is surprising. That means three. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have three bikes.
And they can make that many bikes three teams. In a year.
Which
Bora
kit is.
Yeah.
You like it?
I do.
That's a cool kit. Mm-hmm. I really like that one.
See, I was going to talk about kits, but being this is predominantly an audio podcast, I thought people would be like, we'd be like the Chris Farley sketch, you know, where it's like, hey, man, that looks cool. Mm-hmm. People are like, I can't see it. Apparently you can't see it on YouTube.
They can look it up.
Yeah.
But
follow
along.
Take your notes, fucker.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Not all the kits have been released yet. Yeah. I think next week.
Yeah. Excited to see what EF does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Story number two, say it ain't so, Audrey. Audrey van der Poel has suggested his son, Matthew van der Poel, will not race, quote, for months, end quote, due to an ongoing back injury, though he insisted that the Alpecin Fenix riders' participation in the Spring Classics was not in doubt. So months, but not the Spring Classics. Matthew van der Poel suffered a reoccurrence of his longstanding back injury during the Zolder Super Prestige, his second cyclocross race of the winter, which he abandoned before the finish. He has not raced since, although he reportedly returned to training on Saturday with a 60-kilometer ride north of Antwerp. 60 kilometers. Scare anybody? thoughts on the impact of this on the cyclocross spectacle? First of all, let's just talk about the cyclocross scene, which has it's like a Bruce Willis movie without Bruce Willis showing up. I mean,
explain.
Matthew. Okay, let's take a cast. Let's do Ocean's 11, the most recent Ocean's 11, where you've got. You know, you got George Clooney, you've got Brad Pitt, you've got,
Matt Damon's in it.
But large cast of characters, right? The cyclocross season has almost become a soap opera dependent upon that cast of characters. Do you think that this will hinder the drama that is the cyclocross world? Anybody? I don't think so, but I don't even know why I asked the fucking question.
I don't really think it will, because now, we have the exact same outcome we did before.
Yeah.
We have a win. We have one person who's going to win every freaking race.
Both men's and women's.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if let's say that one person messes up, it's going to be the exact same person getting second every time now.
True.
So it's kind of the same thing, but if you listen real hard, you hear the noise of Matthew van der Poel crying because he's not going to win the Worlds this year in cyclocross.
It'll be interesting if Wout does it. There's no guarantee he's going to come over.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is what do we think the chances of people getting on an airplane?
In the conditions that we are, especially because the U.S. is tough to get
This
into.
Is the wah-wah-wah news.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wah-wah-wah.
Yeah, it'll be unfortunate for United States cyclocross people that are mm-hmm. wanting to go to Arkansas and watch and see mm-hmm. the true champions over in Europe, and it's not going to happen. But it opens the door for, like, I'm thinking Claire
Hunziker.
Yeah.
I mean, she's good anyway, but that, depends on who's willing to come over.
Yeah.
She could be world champion.
Ellie Izzerbit could actually, like...
Yeah. I don't know if... But yeah. Yeah, Todd... I mean, Tom Pidcock will come over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But do you guys really think these people are going to get on an airplane and come over? Tom Pidcock's got a very important Spring Classics campaign coming down the pike.
It's true.
Same with Wout, and that's why they still... Or haven't said whether he's going to do it or not. His focus is Flanders Roubaix.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I saw something today, speaking of Pidcock, saying, you think he's having a good cross season, wait till you see his road season. I forget where I saw that on. But which to me makes me wonder if he had a pretty, I mean, I feel like he had a pretty good classics for first world tour racer. But I think this year he could be on that on that same level with Wout this year.
Somebody said something about the Giro and Pidcock. That's like one of his focuses this year.
Yeah, wow.
So
the Giro.
I don't know where I read that.
That's a really interesting.
Yeah, that is true.
It was Giro and
Spring Classics.
Something like the Liège or something else. One at least one they named plus the Giro. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Third story. For fuck's sake, Froomey. Chris Froome says he encountered a setback in early season training, suffering from knee pain, which he attributes to training too hard too soon after his off-season break. The Briton says he will have to take a full week off the bike. So I want that to be, before I continue with the story, I want a full week off the bike to be the thing that we think about here, okay? He explained on his personal YouTube channel that he's having pain caused by inflammation of his tensor fascia latae. You guys all know what that is, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, come on. Who doesn't know what the fuck that is? Small muscle that attaches the band and is involved in hip flexion, abduction, and internal rotation as well as knee. Who the shit cares? So my question is... I hate to say it. Should we get real here? It's just 1 week off the bike, right? We can all agree on
that. Is that news?
No. But what would a realistic dream season be for Chris Froome for 2022?
Top five in a grand tour.
Mm-hmm. Top five.
Yep.
I think it's for him to finish a grand tour.
You do.
Yeah. I think first thing that came to my mind was I think we should stop comparing the Chris Froome of old to the Chris Froome of now.
Thank you.
Because he will never achieve that again, which I feel so bad to say, because he was a phenomenal rider before this injury.
In my mind is I think we should,
but
sorry, I keep
no, you're good. But I don't think we'll see the same level. I think if he finishes a grand tour, I think he should be happy with that.
Yeah, I think the only reason we do hold a standard is because he gets paid as a champion, and that's
tough.
The only thing. So
I think there's a little there's a little bit of a come on, man, just let's see what we can do one more trip around the bases, let's see what happens. But and please, for you out there, listener, understand that I think we can agree across the table that this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame of cycling.
Yeah.
He is a grand champion. It's just that I think that his place in the current world peloton is that injury was so severe, and that times have changed, and that there are people who are absolutely unbelievable, who are flawless, who have never had these injuries, who have time on their side, and are just, you know, there are some big things that would happen to have to happen to some of these, you know, our current riders who we know, you know, are just unbeatable.
I'd love to see Pogačar and Roglič, like, in their current form, go up against like a heyday Chris Froome. I'd like to see what they could do.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty interesting.
That's always been a fun kind of fantasy game to play. You know, Eddie Merckx in his prime. You know, Voldemort in his prime. You know, Bernard Hinault in his prime. Greg LeMond. What would that competition
put them all
be
in
like?
One race?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you do it, you have to have them ride the same bike.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I think, unfortunately, Merckx was obviously the greatest rider to ride. But I think now it would be almost hard for him.
And
if
training
he rode
techniques have changed, too.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it would almost be a great challenge for Merckx on his, like, what he rode.
Yeah.
I think it would be a challenge for him if he were to go up against, like, Pogačar of now.
I agree. So, you guys ready for the happy ending of the news?
Oh, yeah.
And this leads us into our topic of the show.
My favorite part.
Yeah. The happy ending. New quote, end quote, jeez. Team alert. Jack, you're disgusting.
You started it.
I did not. I just said happy ending. Jack.
My 14-year-old.
I got to worry about my Jack and my Jackson because one is
very pure.
Sick motherfucker, and the other one's my son. New quote, team end quote alert. This is from our friends at Cycling Weekly. Phil Guymon and 12-year-old Tour of Britain extraordinaire, their words, not mine, Xander Graham will form part of the same team this year, both donning the kit of Jukebox Cycling, a team created with a quote, new approach in cycling end quote. The team roster includes six riders from multiple disciplines, with Jukebox, a global printing company based in Vancouver, Canada, right kind of near us, providing the closer to Jackson House, providing the cyclists with opportunities to flourish in their chosen field of cycling. Xander is 12, mind you. This doesn't mean Guymon, a former World Tour pro who last competed for Cannondale Pro Cycling in 2016, will return to racing. Though, likewise, don't expect to see Graham lighting it up in an adult peloton anytime soon. Instead, the team's formation is intended to allow the six riders to, quote, experiment with different ways to embrace cycling for a sense of community, end quote. Joining Guymon and Graham in the squad is cyclocross champion Ruby West, gravel and cross-country mountain bike riders Adam Roberge, Vermeulen, Alexi, if I screwed up your name, and Dylan Johnson. So this brings me to our topic here for the night. Brought to you by our friends at Competitive Cyclists. First of all, shop your LBS first. You need to. That's the best option for information, quality assurance, and your cycling community. Yes, I start these ads out by insulting the sponsor. But if you can't find it there, head to Competitive Cyclists for all your needs. Use the link at Pack Filler to show some love. The topic is content over competition. All right? Things are changing. Things are definitely growing. We know that the online component is a definite part of the sport, no matter what level you are on. But there's a growing shift in the grab for sponsorship dollars, as well as a captive audience. With this announcement of Jukebox, comes at the beginning of a rise in interest, or am I just late to the table maybe here, of entrepreneurship for content over professional race videos and coverage. Riders like Lachlan Morton, the vegan cyclist, Tyler Pierce, Francis Cade, even Sigma Sports and GCN are grabbing incredible attention with riding, not necessarily racing. Not sprint finishes, not classic victories, just riding bikes. Think about the rise of the privateer, this term privateer, which I don't think we had heard until gravel kind of started to flourish. Riders like Laurent Tendam, Peter Stetna, Ian Boswell, Lael Wilcox. There, I know who Lael Wilcox is, the person who bashed me once upon a time. All getting support from companies that know the events they race will have little to no television coverage. What's the draw for sponsors? What are the benefits over sponsoring this as opposed to a pro team? So I'm going to put you guys through a bunch of questions here. Into a fantasy situation. We're going to pretend you have the capital to invest in the sport of cycling. You are doing that well. Congratulations. You can either sponsor a team, which we could you could decide is domestic, continental, or world tour levels, or put your money into privateers / individuals or small groups that create content. Now, when I'm talking about content, we're talking about what Lachlan Morton's doing, what Phil Guymon's doing, the Williams brothers to an extent do, which Vegan Cyclists is doing, and stuff like that. Content over start lines. So I know where some of you guys are going to go with this, but I'd like to open this discussion in terms of, is there a competition for sponsorship dollars, and is there an audience competition with these sponsorship dollars in an effective method for sponsors to get their products out, to get their information out, to get a captive audience? Where do we go? Where would you like to invest just based upon the initial phases of this conversation right now? So I know where Jackson's going to go with this. I think I know where Jackson's going to go with this. Where would you go with this if you had a choice of where in which to invest?
Easy. Any day of the week, I'm going for a content creator.
You're going for a content creator.
Anyway, like any day. It's why?
Yeah.
So, for instance, I like every once in a while I'll watch like the Vegan Cyclist, other people like Francis Cade was one of the ones that I kind of told you about for today.
Yeah.
I look at whenever the Vegan Cyclist is doing, like, for instance, one of his impossible routes, he turns his head and on the side of his helmet says Canyon and Flow Formulas. Did I know what that was before the Vegan Cyclist? Did I know that Flow Formulas existed before that? No, but now I do. Dylan Johnson, he's another one of the content creators, and he has a bunch of different sponsors, Niner Bikes, like all these different things that have been shown to so many different people because you make one weekly video and you get a lot of views and immediately you are seen by, depending on how many subscribers these people have, thousands, millions, like you can reach so many different audiences just through a YouTube video.
I have those stats.
Training videos. Speaking of that, you know, I used to watch a lot of runners, a lot of trail runners, and like say Hoka, you know, I mean, these guys are on the road 7 days a week doing all kinds of different workouts and they're wearing, you don't even know if they race. I mean, they do, but you know, it's like it's a constant T-shirt, you know, it's very much in your face the whole time while you're watching a video on something that has nothing to do with
it. Where's your billionaire dollars going?
Oh, God. I'm in a suicidal way, race promotion, just because it's
now pro team or riders,
regional race promotion.
No, you have to pick a pro team or you have to support individual privateer style riders. You don't get to go outside of them. I asked you a very specific question.
Okay, fuck it. Go ask Paul. Let me think about
that. I think I know where Paul's going to go.
Well, it depends on what am I pushing. I mean, yeah, I'd be, you know, the privateer or somebody that a content individual. If I want to target younger crowd, I certainly wouldn't put it on a pro team. You know, if I would lean towards, pro racing in the U.S. or a team here in the U.S. probably over that if I had extra money just for the love of the sport. And I wouldn't go to Europe just because I think I would try and create for racing, which is my passion. I would focus on that and developing a team, not one that, and not to bash them, but Legion, I thought they were pointing in the right direction. And then it kind of, to me, they kind of lost a little bit of cred. They just seem a little bit harsh for it.
Dramatics wise.
Yeah. And it's just a little bit for me, but if it works, it works. I mean, that's, I'm almost 59, so you know, you don't want to listen to me about what I think the direction of the world should go.
Well, there comes a point where the old catchphrase where no publicity is bad publicity, even if it's negative. Sometimes it's still.
Well, and I'll take it back. I mean, if I had tons of money, and if I'm going to sponsor something, and I don't care about my return, I mean, if you said like a billionaire, I would go for a pro, pro teams, and maybe even set up a couple of pro teams in the U.S. If I had that type of, you know, it'd certainly be cheaper than one pro team in Europe.
Yeah.
So that's how I would go, just for the love of the sport.
Okay.
But if I needed to make money and I owned camping gear or something was my company, I would definitely go gravel and see. It really depends.
Let's pick a company. Bass Pro Shops. You are Bass Pro Shops. Yep. You own Bass Pro Shops. And they have stores all over the world. Let's say they have stores all over the world.
That's an easy one.
What are you doing?
You're definitely going to the gravel scene.
To the
and
dirt.
The, without a doubt. That's a given.
Okay. Walmart.
Well, they're going for.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online.
Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
They don't need the small young people.
Okay.
They already have their market. I mean, yeah. Not that I'm a marketing major or anything.
No, no. But, and that's where we're all, this is a bunch of people just speculating here.
And yeah. Walmart people are huge into, they're the ones supporting the World Championships. They're the ones mm-hmm. that are developing the whole, supposedly Arkansas. I've never been to that state, but they have actually great trails and great mountain bike and road riding. Mm-hmm. And that is their base, and they want to bring people in there. So I would say they would probably lean towards a team, a pro team.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I think it's super interesting because I feel like a company like Walmart, if you like, it's got one of those iconic logos. I took a class with it was called Media and Society, and how we've been trained to, if you see a logo, immediately recognize that logo and you know what it is. You see those yellow lines mm-hmm. in a circle, you know, boom, immediately yep. that's Walmart. Mm-hmm. Without a question, you know. And so I think with a lot of money, they like a Walmart could almost bring in like a top tier level type of rider with all that money. And especially it's not like you need to have them be a huge sponsor. You see that yellow circle, you immediately know it's a Walmart team.
Yeah.
Easily.
I would give, I decided I'm going to give all my money to Jonathan Vodders to expand his under budgeted team.
The Empire
back towards the U.S. and focus on different disciplines, because he's already got riders that do focus on a little bit of gravel, a little bit of, you know, not so much focus, but, you know, are little grassroots kind of mm-hmm. guys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's he's already got something that no other pro team in Europe has, is he's got the connection to the U.S. He's got riders that think outside the box. So I'd give all my money to Jonathan.
So let me ask you this. What's the best bang for your buck? I mean, what is the return on sponsoring a team? I'm not necessarily, I'm talking about globally and domestically. Are you truly getting a return on your investment? Are the Alpha Vinyl people truly going to get quality advertising from sponsoring Lefebvre's team?
I could say MAPI did for me for years.
Yeah.
Just, it's like I...
You bought my paper.
All the time. Yeah.
You did.
I still do to this day.
If there was a choice, just you drifted towards that because
of the
team. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah. Even when we're in France and going to a cash machine, an ATM, and you see Crédit Agricole. Well, not Crédit Agricole, but the Lion one, mm-hmm. yellow.
We the went NAs. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah. Because I'm familiar with it. I mean, that's the whole purpose of advertising. Not that mm-hmm. they make tons of money on an ATM machine, but
you know,
still,
they
nevertheless,
cycling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've seen Quick Step material here, and
yep.
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and I do. I lean towards that stuff.
I think, from my perspective, especially because, like, I'm not calling anyone old here, but
sure you are. Well, actually, fucking we are.
Yeah,
yeah.
But being of that that younger generation. Like how the world has very much shifted to like a short form content type of reality.
Yeah.
I think that in a lot of cases, for me at least, I'm going to see a lot more return on investment when I with these privateers or with a content creator. For instance, Amity Rockwell, she's somebody I follow on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and she announced two of her sponsors that she was keeping from last year, Castelli and Pac. How the hell do I know that? Because I follow her on Instagram, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and the fact that point that brand's in my mind now, like they did exactly what they wanted.
Constant repetition.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let me give you guys some stats. Phil Guymon, 110,000 subscribers. not huge in the world of
no, not
of,
at all.
YouTubers. Wish we had 100. Vegan cyclists, 193,000. The Williams brothers, 48,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Francis Cade, 152,000 subscribers. Sigma Sports, 50,000 subscribers. Matt Stevens, who's a friend of the podcast. By the way, it's his birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday,
Matt. Cheers, yeah. Matt. Oh, yeah. I got to switch camera to me. His friend of the show, his views can be anywhere up from 30,000. For views, of I was talking about subscribers. This is views. 30,000 up to 250,000. Okay. GCN has 2.84 million subscribers.
Oh, wow. A lot.
Yeah.
The 2021 Tour de France had 150 million views. Mm-hmm. The world's largest bike race had 150 million views. GCN has 2.84 million subscribers. How do you associate math with that? But GCN's viewers are going to be tuning in more frequently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be tuning in specifically for a specific demographic of a product. So again, we're talking about product A versus product B. We're talking about Campagnolo versus Bass Pro Shops. But at what point does the affordability of a content creator outweigh the exposure of a Tour de France team?
Yeah, and I think that all depends on what you're pushing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Using the, you know, the Bass Shop as an example.
Sure.
If they did any kind of thing related to GCN, you know, that shop is primarily U.S. You're not going to hit that target. I mean, mm-hmm. it really is a little more complicated than that. But, boy, you know, it depends on, like, big products like, you know, software like clothing. And you look, whatever GCN, they go different. They had Ossos for a while. They had Castelli.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're on, their new kit. I mean, they show it all the time. They get ad sponsors. They'll do a show with a bike. You know what I mean? I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. They've nailed it. I mean, you get 2 minutes. I sort through. There's quite a few things that I know that probably you watch that I don't watch on their channel.
Mm-hmm.
When they do like adventure stuff, I don't think I've watched a single one. Oh, he got started and see, yeah, and you
I've
would
watched
watch
it
that.
All. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But if you look, they talk about all the gear.
They do
and that type of thing. And to me, that I don't have interest. But that same channel, that's why you have 2 million whatever subscribers. Mm-hmm. That same channel talks bike racing and who's racing on what equipment,
so you
that
pick
I'm
and
interested
choose.
In.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing with that is they're 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The tour's 3 weeks.
It's a never-ending
so
channel.
And there's always new content. So you're not – the boredom doesn't set in or the race isn't over. You know, it's never over.
Yeah.
So
and
volume.
Those 150 million views are at the world's largest race, mm-hmm. the world's largest event. I couldn't find – specific statistics for Tour Flanders or something like that, you know, outside of Belgium. I mean, I'm sure Belgium's viewership is gigantic. I'm sure globally it's a good, but I guarantee it's not 150 million.
Well, it's I think Jack nailed it on the head there that it's the repetition. You mentioned it earlier. The fact that I know what every single member of GCN rides has immediately gotten exactly what Pinarello, Orbea, and Canyon have all wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It's that exposure. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But then you add into a pro team's dynamic. We now know not only what bike Peter Sagan is on, but we know what color it is.
But he
is sponsoring a pro tour team. Just a team that lines up at the start, is on the cameras, and is over. I mean, we are now to the point where these guys are all on some form of social media. They have to probably. I bet there's a medium of how many times these guys have to post on a regular basis. Guys and women. You know, when I say guys, I tend it to be people. As gender neutral as possible, and I apologize for people who are going to yell at me about it. But I'm sure there are a minimum amount of social media posts that have to happen on per rider, which would terrify me as a social media director. You know. Hi, Chloe Dygert. Hi,
Quinn
Simmons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the better exposure rate? You know, and I know we're talking about cycling specific products versus non specific products, but if you were to watch a GCN spot and before it a commercial came up for Toyota, would it bother you?
Well, it depends on if it's skippable.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, like,
but they—if it's skippable, there's still a specific reason that these companies do these specific skippable. They know they get in your head with 5 to 10 seconds of advertisement.
Well, what I think what's really interesting about YouTube is the fact that, like, why GCN is so big is because their videos are. They always have some sort of revenue in their videos off of YouTube. Not only their sponsors, but off of YouTube as well. Because if you have ads on your video, boom, you immediately make money. If you don't, that's why you aren't making money on your YouTube videos.
Not great money, by the way.
Yes. However,
yeah,
you can make.
But volume.
Guymon makes his money off of his sponsors, not off of his YouTube views. He tweeted about this the other day and was sharing specific dollar amounts. He's like, you got to have like hundreds of thousands of YouTube videos viewers to make a good income.
Yeah,
but a lot of his sponsors likely expect him to do the YouTube videos.
Well, that's his job. That's his job. So, I mean, Jukebox doesn't expect him to be riding across the front of the line at a major race. They expect him to be doing his goofy shit and having fun and going out and doing crazy rides.
Yeah.
And creating short video content of it. You know, when I saw Phil Kymon at his most recent thing where he was doing that massive ride.
Oh, Kill Phil.
Yeah, which was hilarious. And I started watching it all, and there was one clip where he accidentally dropped his GoPro into a fucking porta potty. And I'm watching it, and he's in his full kit.
Does his mount break?
Yeah, mount break. Handlebar.
No, he was in there, and it was in his jersey pocket or something. It was zipped into the front, and he unzipped his jersey to take a piss, and it fell into the toilet. And so But anyway, you got to watch the video. But his jersey got more fucking airtime from that clip than Total Energy probably got in the entire length of the tour last year.
I think that's what's crazy is the fact that if you have a team, you don't know if you're good enough to get that exposure.
Yeah.
Because there are some teams like Bingle. Yeah. Who the hell knows that Bingle's a team? Mm-hmm. Like,
unless you're a diehard cyclist.
Exactly. But the fact that I know that Chapeau was on the front of Phil Guymon's jersey, there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
And definitely financially.
What do the popular content creators do well that you guys, the ones you guys follow? And we're going to take GCN out of the equation because, you know, they're kind of the big dogs right now. What do they do well? What makes you, quote, smash that subscribe button and quote? That's what the kids say these days, you know, right? Yeah. So what is it about it that draws you, that keeps you coming back or makes you subscribe to a specific content creator? Now, I'm talking about racing. I'm talking about non-racing. I'm talking about people who are going out and challenging themselves. Everest Challenge. Is it the challenge element of it? Is it the beauty of the where they're riding? Is it gear reviews? What is it that makes you want to subscribe and follow that person or people on a regular basis?
I'm drawn to the character of the person.
Okay.
I mean, so like if they're entertaining, I will watch and watch and watch and look for more content that they put out. But, you know, if they're dry and boring, I mean, then it might be a one and done thing. Like, you know, okay, I learned something.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, they have to be a character and entertaining in my head.
so it's not like a specific.
You, Pat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, Jack.
That's why we're watching you.
You're the tornado.
I have quite a few that I subscribe to.
Yeah.
You smash probably 90%. I smash the button.
Smash the button.
Yeah.
Smash
that subscribe button.
Yeah, subscribe and like. I have, you know, outside of GCN, most of them are cycling. I have Buenos Fotos. He's a guy out of Australia, older guy. He's a character, but his videos are 5, sometimes 4 minutes, 5, 10 minutes long, and he breaks down like bike parts and, you know, why press fit bottom brackets aren't good. Or there's another guy, Hambini, that does that. So I like that type of thing. I watch our buddy Calvin on Park Tools. I watch their stuff. That's Tool Tuesdays. And but there's the ones that are non-cycling too. That are
way too fucking. Yeah.
But I like that. Yeah. I don't. I have like Rafa. I have EF because I like that artsy. Sometimes when they do artsy stuff, you know, like, you know, their Juro and Quickstep also has their kind of artsy version. So those are the things. But it's also, you know, racing base. But outside of that, I have one cooking guy that I like, Sam the Cooking Guy. He cracks me up.
I love Sam the Cooking Guy.
He is so funny. No, everything's shit. Like when he's done eating, he's like, oh, God.
He used to do a cocktail before every show, too. He'd make himself, but I think he got drinking too much. I think he was like pulling a Jack.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the good thing about like YouTube. I mean, you can tailor your channels. You know,
sure.
And I don't have to worry about paying for other stuff.
Yeah. Jackson, who are the content providers, cycling based, and what do they do well?
I think that I do like a character, like Jack was saying. I like to get to know a person, which I think is what draws me to a lot of things. Like Francis Cade, like I said, was one of the ones that I mentioned.
Yeah.
He both has like a fun character, but he also like brings other people. He does this thing that I just like cannot stop watching called Bike Fit Tuesdays, where he breaks down, like he has a friend named James who will break down like a lot of really helpful information about like your bike fit, which I think really is really cool, but not better than Sam.
Right.
Maybe we need to have Sam come in once a month.
But
that's been taken.
But, I like that, but I also like the adventure part of it. Dustin Klein is a YouTuber out of Portland. He's kind of a smaller YouTuber out of Portland who, like, does a lot of different adventures, but he doesn't only do, like, cycling, like big gravel rides. He does a lot of, like, just commuting stuff in Portland, which I think is also really cool just because it's not the usual, oh, let's go on a big ride and see how it ends. I like that type of stuff, and I like this is how I am in shows too. I like when a show takes the characters out of their normal habitat, and I really like when YouTubers do that. So I usually stray towards those ones who take the character out of their typical habitat, who will go on big trips, who will go on big adventures. I really like that type of stuff, and I like I do like the short form content, but I find that I like the long form a lot better. GCN with the adventure stuff, obviously we're not talking about them, but I like that stuff. When Francis Cade, he recently went to Italy to do like a gravel thing with Villiers. I like that type of stuff because it once again brings them out of their natural habitat, but it also tests the human being, and I think that's another thing that really draws me to cycling in general is the test of the person. Can a human being conquer something? So
have you seen Matt Stevens like
Cafe rides. He just did one.
One Pepe Yoda.
Yeah,
I watched that one. Yeah,
yeah, and those are great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did one even with Mark Cavendish. He's done for
the
years.
The cab is the one that he got $250,000.
Yeah,
on. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which sounds low.
Yeah,
yeah. Seriously, it does.
Yeah,
you know, you'd think there would be more fans for that.
To me, it's fascinating because it seems like it's such a casual, and he's a great host. He has that ability to just kind of like, you know, unloosen the tie, sit back, mm-hmm. and they chat, and there's always a good laugh. And that's what you were talking about, just to see somebody outside of lining up,
yeah,
and getting the stupid questions asked to him. So, you know, mm-hmm. what happened out there? You know,
yeah.
I raced a freaking bike race and I'm tired, you know,
yeah.
that type of thing. So,
and I think that's what I appreciate about a guy like Matt Stevens is he's willing to get personal with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think GCN kind of walks a tough tightrope on, is that sometimes their rapidity, is that a word, rapidity? Sure.
Repeated nature.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Like,
repetition.
Yeah. Their
repetition.
The amount of videos
that
was
the word.
Yeah. The amount of videos that they produce sometimes verges on that line of getting out of the personal element of it and just going on the pure content. Because sometimes, like, quality over quantity kind of shows.
Yeah.
So.
But if you're running something with 2.84 million subscribers,
you've got to
create constant amount of content.
Yeah.
And you don't have a race to cover.
Yeah, foot you can't come off the gas when you're that big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does a challenge for you guys of interest, does a challenge, does a new product, we're talking about these, you know, almost document, well, they are documentary style mm-hmm. of films that are being created. Does a challenge have to take place? Do we have to see an athlete put to some sort of an extreme type of nature? You know, if a rider goes to Italy, do they have to do the Dolomites in 24 hours? Type of a thing like that. Is that the part that interests you as a viewer, or is it the beauty of the Dolomites? Is it something like that?
What's kind of funny is if a person goes to another country for a product review, then I will watch it. But if they also go for a challenge, I will also watch it. That weird type of thing where I mentioned before how I like the stuff, but I also like the challenge of it, to see what they can actually achieve. So it's I'm hook, line, and sinker into pretty much a lot of things that are cycling based.
I system has included some things with I was watching one the other day with Lachlan Morton and his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, I think it was Mongolia. And I found myself, I didn't intend on completing the whole workout. I was going to do a shortened version of it, but I cared about whether or not or they were going to finish it. Because there are several of these videos where you're watching where they don't accomplish their goal. And I love that they still keep those products up there, those films up there, and they still release those films showing that things are realistic and these people can't do it. But is that challenge an integral part of what keeps you there? For example, Paul, is a video, even though you've seen Stars and Water Carriers multiple times, if that video is about racing, is that what intrigues you and keeps you there?
That hits more on the artistic side, you know. I don't think I mean, if you break it down, there's for me for watching is the artistic side of producing something that deals with my passion, and I'll watch that. My favorite one is Rafa did back in 2010. It's called Throw the Dice, which you guys watched.
Yeah,
that was one
I
of those.
Seem to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of your.
Yeah,
one of your
and Ridley Scott produced it. It was a 14-minute short film, and you know, to me, I like that part of it. For when I look at GCN, if they review a product, I'm not really apt to watch it. And this may be unjustly, you know, saying that because they have to watch their dollars, they can't truly bash it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, people like Hambini and Buenos Photos, those guys are not getting paid, and when they get a hold of this stuff, they actually, and their engineered background, so you get to me the real true, you know, what's happening. There's another guy who does carbon. He's from Australia too. I can't remember his Raul. Can't remember his last name, but he's was in the aerospace with carbon fiber.
Wow.
And he cuts the frames in two, and he knows all about carbon fiber. So
he's not sending those bikes back.
No, they're usually people send him. He does repair. He's backed up for, people around the world send him for carbon fiber repairs. Mm-hmm. And if they're too far gone, that's when he cuts them up. So, he's very dry. I mean, I can imagine most people are like, ugh. And his favorite saying is catchphrase is, which is not ideal. That's not ideal, which means it's not. But anyway, so for me, it depends. You know, I have a variety. I like to be entertained. I like the art stuff. If I want to go for true content of like a bike write-up or something,
sure,
then I'm going to go to these guys that are not getting paid. I think Cycling Tips, too, right now is not. They don't really get paid. They go off of subscribers, and they try and get in a test. So you're going to get a more honest than GCN, I think.
So are we agreeing that the more captive audience is content-based? Am I correct in assuming that? Is the bigger bang for your buck as a sponsor content-based?
Certainly going there if it isn't already. It's because of social media. It's just, you know, you can be a YouTuber when you grow up. I mean, it's just blown up. So of course it's.
I didn't see a single inch of Peter Stetna ride any major gravel race this year, but the guys I know as sponsors, I know what he's on. I know the fact that he's got a new van sponsor, and if I looked it up because I'm watching the content on a device, I could immediately click and find that van. Wow. Or is the format of how the sport markets itself changing? Do we need racing to be a profitable bike marketing based idea?
I don't think racing ever was profitable.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it was just you've got promoting. Some companies who really love the sport and just want to throw money into a water empty hole?
Yeah. I think some people can do okay depending on what they're after, with exposure. But that's why if you look the turnover of sponsors in Europe, I mean, the pro world tour teams, they're turning over all the time. There's another sub-sponsor or whatever. It is not a profitable deal, but it's a way to get your name out there to a big group of people on the Tour de France. Yeah. You know, obviously hitting across the world. And Jack and I both are using products or dealt with something that was in the tour.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think 7-Eleven... There weren't 7-Elevens in France.
No.
I don't think that the United States Postal Service did do an effort to try and expand globally. I don't know how successful it was, especially now. But
I guess they were pretty successful transporting drugs.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't know.
Maybe that's why.
But really. Moto Man didn't have the logo on him and stuff like that. So, so do you see think about a professional team. These are millions and millions and millions of dollars these teams are organized and requiring, as I said earlier, that service course of Jumbo Visma. It's a drone shot that runs through the entire facility. You're looking at this facility going, there is no place in the world that has this much money in it.
F1.
Yeah.
F1.
It's a grocery store.
Yeah.
Only in the Netherlands and I think in parts of Belgium.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so,
do you think that many people are going, must buy at Jumbo because I gotta get the ice at Jumbo, even though it's $19 a bag, where it's usually $1.50 a bag, but I want to support Primoz Roglic.
Well, I think over in Europe, you are more impressed with. I mean, cycling's a bigger sport in the U.S. It's hard to judge, but you know, like you look at Belgium, every single bike race is for free. All doesn't matter what level, it's on TV. It is free. No one has to pay for that. That's huge. You know, in the Netherlands too, they've got, you know, same thing. There's that big push. So their environment is cycling based, so that would make sense to have, you know, people would go, yeah, I would support the team or whatever, you know. But here it does not make sense, of course. It would have to be 100% passion.
Yeah.
Right off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Domestic cycling in the United States. You're saying that's just a write-off. Yeah, that's just being nice. That's a charitable
I don't charitable know the donation. Science behind it, but I can't imagine getting your return. Not at all.
I'm not going to... This isn't intended as a bash, but name three sponsors of Legion.
Okay. Zwift, Specialized, and Rafa. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Any more?
I think that's
SRAM.
It. Is that it?
It's just SRAM.
Roka. I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. That's. Could any of the other people at this panel pull that off?
I knew the first three.
Really?
Roka, once you said Roka, then I remember that. Okay. But I subscribe to their channel.
Sure. There we go. Mm-hmm. There we go. That's where our content
is. It's imprinted in your brain.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not.
Yeah. And I watch, you know, like... Tulsa Tough, and then I watch crit racing and stuff. So
you definitely know the bikes they're on, and exactly. You know the big things, big ticket.
And he's, you know, Justin's on the cover of magazines, in his kit and things like that. So that's where that placement's going to be, product placement there. So, okay, I've found it interesting that cycling passions have expanded to the point of simply watching somebody else go for a bike ride, and that it'll garner hundreds of thousands of people watching somebody go for a bike ride.
Well, it's the same thing as watching somebody play a video game. Why? Like,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. It is. I know.
That's the thing, though. Somebody who's going to, like...
Somebody else screaming at the TV.
Yeah, somebody you probably went to work with today was probably like, why the hell would they watch somebody go for a bike ride?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same thing. There's content for everyone.
Yeah.
The end cyclists.
And it's accessible to everyone.
Yep.
It's not like we need a subscription to watch a bike race. That's what the tour's become in this country anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we can barely even catch the Tour de France without having a subscription based concept. So, yeah. So bike racing's fucked in the States is what we're saying. Unless it's crit beef. Unless it's guys going round and round in a circle and yelling at each other like soap opera stars.
But you could turn it around, and if you said we're fucked because we got to pay, but that is what's supporting more racing and more bikes and more content.
Yeah,
so it's
the content we don't have to pay for
contributing.
Though.
Yeah, I get it,
and that's why this we're all to a sort of agreement that content is, if you had to get bang for your buck, the content is the method in which you're going to pursue. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, there we go. I need to ask a very important question of Jack Broadhead before this podcast is over.
Oh, man.
Do you need to go to the bathroom?
Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
Because we all do at the end of the show. But how's your bike hunt going,
Jackson? I went before I left the
house. How's your bike hunt going? We need to know. Listeners want to know how your bike hunt is going. Yes!
Really, three people probably want to know.
That's not true. Well, they live vicariously through you. Yeah, because nobody can get a bike.
Well, they want to know where you're... Right,
they
want to
know where I'm going to buy a bike.
They want to know what type of a bike you're hunting for, if you've any narrowed it down to any brands or
styles.
Maybe
I can get a sponsorship out of this.
Yeah.
If I keep just naming.
Yeah. Canyon's online too, Jack.
Yeah. So I've gone through every bike manufacturer known to man on Pro's Closet. So what that's helping me do really is gauge the value of a 2 or 3 year old bike of the level that I want averages $5,500 used.
Okay.
Some of them don't even have electronic shifting at $5,500.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Unfucking believable. So we're
going to get, you're going to get tendonitis.
I'm
going to
get a free, no, I'm going to get a free bike out of this. No, I keep leaning towards a new bike. It's like, what's $3,000 when I, you know, so why not spend $8,500 on a new bike versus somebody's old throwaway on Pro's Closet. So, I've been going to the Argon 18 website just because I've kind of fallen in love with one bike in particular.
Really?
So, the Gallium Pro Disc.
Ooh.
Yeah, with SRAM Red.
Ooh.
Mm.
No clue.
It's $8,500. That's all that matters. $8,500.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good price. We'll see. For a red.
For red E-Tap, Envy Wheels.
Yeah. Holy
it's,
cow!
It's wow. It's really a pro everything. You can't get. There's nothing better that you can buy. I mean,
works for Astana.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did?
I mean,
they
now
they're
Villier. Are they on Villier? Yeah.
But I mean, it's a really, really pretty bike. It looks very traditional, so it's not. It's to
no
me.
No dropper stays. No.
It's yeah. not all molded into. You know, it really from if you stand back, it looks like just a classic road bike, and I like that.
Are they direct to consumer?
I was going to call to ask, but they do have a like you know find your local dealer, but
nice.
They're literally nowhere near us, and they're out of Edmonton. So I thought, you know, maybe I can
make a road trip.
Well, I was going to get Calvin to go get it and then build it and then I'll go to Minnesota and pick it up.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Quick trip for him.
Quick trip for him. Yeah. Quick trip for me. So that's where I am today.
A couple more questions for you, Jack.
Okay. Oh, there's more.
Spring races. We didn't get you at the New Year's resolution. I did call out your resolution. But are there any spring races on your radar there, Jack?
Your glasses look like Sagan's bike.
Hey, focus.
They
squirrel.
Do.
Yeah,
squirrel.
Don't go off into the shiny on me here. Stick with me. Yeah, you know, right. Jack, you do any spring races?
Yeah.
In other words, are we crashing at your house come
spring? Oh, definitely. We're doing a 3-day ride weekend, but if you want to just come out and do Vance Creek, then I'm not sure if there's going to be one or two this year.
So far,
Vance
I only
Creek.
Saw one on there. Yeah.
What was the date?
It was in April, like 16th or something.
Oh,
like
perfect.
That. Third yep. weekend. Third or second.
It'll be about the second, well, probably the, you'll probably have a 1 month on the road here in Spokane by April due to the weather.
Yeah. We'll be fucked.
So yes, if Vance Creek is in April, I'll likely do that. Maybe, is there a volunteer park?
There is volunteer
park.
Yeah,
and I think that's in June.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a summer
I'm
race.
Pulling
it used to be an April race, but summer race.
Yeah, it used to be the first one of the season. April, the first week
of
April.
Well, first race for the East Siders to go over and do.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
But, yep.
Well, we had to go to Banana Belt.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Go down to Portland.
Yep. Or piece of cake.
Yeah.
See, we're bringing back
Knocker.
You guys are old. Hey, to summarize.
So is that it?
Content wins. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. However you get your content, please make sure that you understand that we here at Packville create content. And however you follow, make sure to always check on us here at the Packville as well as our upcoming venture into video content, velouupdate.com. And stay tuned and make sure to tell a friend about our show. Keep the rubber side down to the panel. We are already at our limit of the show, believe it or not. To the panel, the three guys. Jack, when are you going to be back? Maybe
back.
April, May?
Back riding?
No,
racing.
On the
on
show
full
again.
Full form?
In the studio.
Oh.
He should be around since he's got that one house that you're trying to finish.
Yeah, I'm around for a while.
There we go. thanks for being here, buddy.
Thanks.
And nice hat.
Oh, thanks. What am I wearing today?
The hat.
Filler.
Yeah. Jackson Bulger, of course, thanks for being here. And thanks for being the guy who's up to speed on what the youths are doing.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. And Paul Main, thanks for being here and actually knowing what YouTube is.
Yeah, that was I found it yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I got the interweb.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much. Keep the rubber side down. Sorry if you were trying to find us on YouTube. We are on packfiller.com. I'm looking at the website behind me. So that's always the go-to if you need to. Or we're on the Facebooks. There we go. Catch you guys next week.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.